This is only a little bit intimidating. It's almost as tall as me. I'm really... No, it's okay. I'll stand down here. Are you guys doing good? Great to be here. It's been a little while.
Well done.
It's been a little while, but obviously you don't mind too much. So I'm going for the sympathy first. Who came this morning? You had an upset stomach, quite painful. Who was that? You had a bit of an upset stomach, a bit painful. Who was that? Up you get. It was you, yeah. Up you get. Stand up. Your name's Val, isn't it? You're a teacher, aren't you? Because you just told everybody. God's going to heal you right now. Just put your hand where it is. Father, I want to thank you right now for your healing power at work in Val. Father, I thank you for settling that acid buildup. Thank you for sorting out that lining issue. Father, I thank you right now for your healing power at work. In the name of Jesus. How are you doing? You doing all right? You alive? Feel anything going on there? It's good. Yeah. It's good sorted, or it's good? It's sorted. Sure?
It was acid,
wasn't it?
Yeah,
yeah, I can see that. It's okay. God's sorting you out. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just give the Lord a bit of celebration for that. Thanks, Val. And who has it that kind of has just recently had a bit of a skin irritation? Who's that? It's you, is it? Somebody here. It's you, isn't it? Are you looking around? Somebody's got a bit of a skin irritation. Can't it started there? It's you, right? Hope you get. What's your name? What a great memory. Nothing wrong with that memory, eh? You take some cream for that. Okay. No, I got inspired by you. You're my inspiration this morning. There's a greater cream that God's about to put onto that irritation. It's called the cream of his presence. It's called the cream. The oil of Gilead was used in the Old Testament for soothing. Very hard to find. But it's the Holy Spirit. So, okay, I thank you right now, Holy Spirit, that you sort out this skin condition. You restore the pore in the skin. I thank you that you remove the irritation right now. And I thank you that you bring complete and utter cleansing in the name of Jesus. We thank you that we're in your presence. We thank you that you died so that we could live free from irritation. How you doing, Kay? How's it going? It's feeling good. Are you sure? Don't just make it up. You're quite tall, aren't you? Man, maybe you should pray for me. It's great, eh? Does it feel a bit different? It's not as itchy. I want to thank you for itchlessness. Is that a word? Well, I just made up a new word. Thank you, Jesus. Sorry, we just had to do that. I was going to do that a bit earlier, but I didn't know when I was going to get up. Brilliant. It's been a great time just being up with you. I love the spirit in this house. I love you guys. We are definitely fitting in terms of the good looks. Yeah, otherwise we'd be having this meeting out on the pavement, so it's great. It's interesting how in our placements, we've had 4 weeks of placement, we're really blessed. And we've kind of sown, as a church, two of those placement team to you for these 2 weeks. And I'm just thrilled that you've had a great time with them. But when the remaining people knew that we were coming up here, I know everybody came with totally the right motive, because I love these guys and I trust them. But I know two people came up. One, because they love being up here last time they were here, and that's Andrea. And the other one, because they love someone who is up here. Which is close. It's all right. Let love be the motive. I think that's fine. Yes, I know, but there was an extraordinary reason. But it's brilliant. Again, just to hear how much they've been able to give and pray and serve and just be part of the house is really why we value our relationship together, our partnership with Greater Life Church. I believe these are the greatest days to be in church. I believe this is the greatest season to be a Christian. I believe we are on the cusp of the greatest opportunities that we will ever have. And in our kind of situation, I think when I was here last time, we hadn't quite started our third location. We have now started a third location back in October. is at Worthing, meets in a leisure centre, and last Sunday 71 people turned up, which is kind of interesting. So we had a lot of people as visitors. We did a baby dedication, and God's just been doing extraordinary things. We would say that we're under extraordinary grace, which is normal for God. And I love the testimony. I love the kind of the trigger word about switching on a switch. I think we were made with a switch. I think that switch was called choose life. And I think if we just manipulate it through choice, not only do we choose life, but we choose the life that was chosen for us. So today we come with a real full heart. We love this congregation. We love these guys. Carrie is marginally better looking than Pastor Paul, but it's a close run thing. But we love these guys. We love the spirit that they're leading you into. And particularly if you're under 20, under 25, man, you need to lay hold of the wake. Do you know what the wake is? Not a funeral. Don't lay hold of that. But the wake, when a boat goes through sea, it breaks up things ahead of it. It changes the shape of it. It changes the molecular structure of it so that it comes out the back white and frothy. But it's broken nominalism. It's broken trends. It's broken standards. It's broken the acceptable. Because what we tolerate becomes normal. And you need good leadership because they push the pointy end into places that need to be broken up, which is an interesting challenge. But then behind it is easier to break through. In motorsport, it's called slipstreaming. Have anybody watched Formula One? Do you know what DRS system is? So if you have a good leadership, you can use your drag reduction system as a follower, which means we don't have to be great. We just have to know someone that is. Do you understand that? We don't have to have all the answers. We just need to lock into someone that does. We don't have to be the strongest people in the world. We just hang around people who are. And I think there's a house like this, and I think you're in it. So forget the age on your birth certificate. Forget when you gave your life to Jesus. The greatest days are ahead of us as long as we forge forwards in the things of God. Do you understand that? So I'm really pleased to be connected with an awesome, awesome congregation called Greater Life, because I think that the name determines its passion. We know there's life in God, but we know there's greater yet. So I'm so encouraged to be here. We've been seeing some interesting things going on in the life of church. The supernatural is becoming much more normal. And I said this a little while ago, that as a Christian, if you know Jesus, then we need to know the full power of Jesus, not just the relationship with Jesus. Jesus came to give us divine energy, a power that is indescribable in a sense. Humanity isn't even recognizing the power of God yet. It realizes something made something. But it's the power of God, the Bible says. In Hebrews 11, it says, by faith we know how the universe was created, by the very shout of the Lord. And I love this dynamic of God, and I love the sound in this congregation where there's a shout going out in community, which is help me, I need help, but there's a shout in the church that says we can give it to you. And I think part of good leadership changes the shout. And the word that kind of God's laid on my heart, we've really kind of experienced in some of it, is about alignment. You're only laughing because you beat Brazil at football the other day. And nobody from Brazil here tonight is there, because she's from Holland, but we love Holland. Come on. I mean, they're quite good at diving. But it's mountain biking. They're diving, and yeah, well, we're going to buy them a swimming pool made of grass next time. It's not good. But you love me, right? Yeah, you have to. So, yeah. Anyway, I don't like football at all, actually. Somebody asked me on the bus, said, have you watched any football? It's only by mistake. I switched it on. I thought it was something else. I knew it was football because everybody was kissing each other. It's like, what? Come on, then. Everybody was kissing each other. It's like, what's all this about? And they said, he scored a goal. I said, well, they kiss each other even when they don't score a goal. What's going on? So I've connected my heart to rugby and to Formula One. And I'm very happy that there's no Grand Prix on right now. There is GP2 on, I think. But I'm not into that. Anyway, I have this message today. It's kind of a story. It's quite a well-known story from the Bible. But there's just a few pointers that I think God wants to reinforce in our hearts. And I love this whole thing about there's a trigger. And I want to set off some triggers in your head. I think I've probably said this to you before, but the fastest unrecorded journey in the entire world is in one Christian's ear and out the other one. All right, so we need to try and grab that. It's not in the Guinness Book of Records, but I think it is somewhere recorded that a lot of Christians turn up on a Sunday and we hear some great stuff, and then by the time we've gone out, it's stayed somewhere it shouldn't do. All right? Yeah. So I don't want this word to stay on your seat when you leave. I want it to stay in the seat of your life when you go outside the door. So we're going to make a few bow waves. Is that not bow wow woofy things, but bow waves? And the first one is this. As a man thinks, so he is. How many of you know that you think all the time? If you don't, then ask for help. Phone a friend. Do something. But you think all the time. God made you to be a thinker. He wants you to think beyond your current, beyond your past, and beyond your experience. In other words, he's made us to think futurist, not just present and past. That's about intellect. But our thinking is about future. How can we think about future? God designed us to have daydreams. I believe this is true. I believe people like Daniel had a daydream. I think people like Adam had a daydream. I think people like Abraham had a daydream. God has wired humanity to dream beyond their current situations that is totally inspired by God himself. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's daydreams, or the Bible can refer to these as open vision. So it's not when, you know, we're under the spirit of duvet, or we're engaged to our Winnie the Pooh pillow, or whatever it is that we have, or Peppa Pig, or I don't know what we use nowadays. My grandchildren are into Octonauts. You know what Octonauts are? They're brilliant. But God wants us to align our thinking, which means your thinking and my thinking, my understanding is that God wants it to be very creative, but not weird. He wants it to be inspired and useful. The Bible speaks about this being wisdom from above. I believe in this room a lot of wise people. I heard a joke once. It was a lady that said it, which probably is why it was said, is that it's a miracle that God found three wise men. I just wait until everybody's got it, because... Okay, is that right? I think God made us to be wise men and women. He's loaded up your head so that you could have ideas that you never generated, that you could have thoughts that didn't come out of your own perspiration but out of his inspiration. And I think one of those thoughts is about how do we take our town for Jesus? So this story is the story about, it's the Jericho story, kind of, except I want to come at it from a slightly different point of view. First thing about the Jericho story is it needed someone that had to meet someone greater than the someone. Joseph went out for a walk and he met someone and he said, "Whose side are you on?" His thinking was, "I'm in battle, I'm in conflict, I need the maximum amount of strength that I can have." And the answer was, check out this. It's not about whose side you're on, it's about whose side I'm on. Here's the first point, so you have in your head. Make sure you're on the right side. When you get up in the morning, you're on the winning side. You're on the victory side. You're on the one that comes over, not goes under side. Whatever day is called around your thinking, it's a day to delight and rejoice in. I love it that rejoice always is one of the shortest verses in the Bible in Greek. But because we're a bit slow, he says, and again I say rejoice. So thinking. Switch on that switch first thing in the morning. I'm going to delight in this day, and I'm going to make this day a happy day. I'm going to rejoice in this day. I'm going to make this day celebrate what I'm enjoying. But you've got to do it in your head. Because as a man thinks, so he becomes. I tell you, man, I'm going to beat the living death out of my days by making sure that they are happy until they can't be happy anymore. Do you understand that? Is it whenever I had a good conversation, I'm looking for a better one around the corner. If I'm having a great experience in God, I'm looking for a better one in another half an hour. Why? Because my day is called greater. My day is called great. So in my head, I cannot accept any more mediocrity. I don't like it because what I tolerate becomes my normal. So in my head, my normal is God's normal, more and more and more by the grace of God. Thank you, Jesus. So today is a day for supernatural to become really normal, for the angelic presence and the taskings of God to become very normal. So I'm aligning my head. But then I have to align my heart. So we find Joshua has this tremendous conflict. Like, there's a cloak here. He looks as if he knows what he's doing. Looks as if he's had a few fights and won. And he said, well, whose side are you on? And this angel, or maybe it was Jesus himself, says, actually, it doesn't matter which side you're on. If you stick with me, we're going to get through this. I just want to encourage you this morning that Jesus sticks closer to you than you ever will to him. And Jesus confines himself to the space of the barrack room of your life more than we ever want to run into his. Once Jesus has caught eyesight of you, he will never leave you. He'll never let you go. He'll never keep his hand off you. He'll never just let you be how you are. He just can't because he won't. And he won't because he can't. Jesus is awesome. Man, he's closer to their own breath, the Bible says. So here's Joshua. His name means Yahweh, or the true God saves. Good message. I think that's the kind of thing that God is saying about this house. This is a kind of a Joshua generation. I hear that a lot, you know, we're this and we're that, and let's write songs about it. But man, it's a spirit. It's not a song, it's a spirit. It's not even just a song, it's a state of mind. I believe Joshua generation is this one, whatever age we're at. God is thinking it's time to take the land and possess it for God. God doesn't want us just to walk around a mulberry bush somewhere. Man, he wants to enter in and possess it. This place, Jericho, it says, was tightly shut up. Maybe your school looks like it's tightly shut up. Maybe your workplace looks as if no Christians are allowed. I'm encouraged by the testimony from Val. Get into the classroom. I think your world is somebody else's classroom. The world that God's put us into is our opportunity to educate people. There's another way, and his name is Yahweh. Our whole world is a classroom, and we get to teach. Come on, I like that. We get to teach how you live, how you live out of following a champion, how you live out of following Jesus, teach it somebody else. Do you understand in this story? I don't know how long I've got, but we'll just go until we're done. Is that all right? So there's Joshua. He kind of means Jesus. He gets stuck with the challenge, but it hasn't changed the city at all. Now, I've checked the Bible. I kind of read it again this morning. As far as I know, in the day of warfare, if you look through some of the things that happened through the Exodus, and you know, I don't think anybody died by shout. We were looking at Nehemiah the other day in one of our series in the church, and nobody died by crying. But it's a sign of a heart, and it's a sign of a mind, and it's a sign of an attitude towards the place and the people. But nobody died by shout. It wasn't a particularly clever strategy. It wasn't particularly well thought through, probably. But here's the third point. The first one is make someone greater than you. Second one is stick to them like glue, because they'll stick to you like glue. Third one is it doesn't matter if you don't know where you're going, as long as you walk with someone that does. I'm just interested. At the time of writing the book, these walls, the very walls of Jericho, were about 14 and a half foot thick. The people lived in them. They dwelt in them. They were protected by them, but they were also restricted by them. They never went out. Most of them lived there, died there, worked there. They went out to collect water from time to time, but that was their life. Maybe there's some people here. Your life is just like living behind big, thick walls. Well, let me tell you that today God wants to break into the walls. He wants to come in and change our environment a little bit. Is it all right to say that? Yeah. So as Joshua was, he was talking with his officers. They were people that loved him. They followed him. They just didn't wait for orders. And I love something that come up here in a minute. It says something that a leader isn't someone that just gives orders. They know how to give instructions. But a servant knows how to do what's needed without being asked. And Joshua began to become a servant of Jesus and still be a leader of men. And I think in this room, there are people that God is saying, you're a great servant in the house. Yes, you come early. Yes, you put chairs out. Yes, you pray. Yes, you put out the great fruit and veg and all the stuff over here. But the best leaders have been the best followers first. The best leaders have been the best followers first. And I think part of this button is that within the world that you live in, someone is following you. Someone is. You might not know them personally. They might hate you at the moment from your view. But they're following you. They're following you. It's not just a grin like this, bro. That was an impressive grin, I tell you what. Man, I'm going to tweet that one as well. You send out to me. I'm going to send it around everywhere. I'm just going to put it on YouTube. We'll have it at Faith Camp. We'll put it up there on a big screen so it looks like 50 foot wide. That'll be awesome. Yeah. Get in there.
Make sure you get copyright.
Yeah, copyright it. Too late. I'm signed him up. I'm going to manage him. I'm going to manage this grin and this set of teeth. Hallelujah. But we find Jesus begins to communicate. But guess what? Jesus doesn't tell everybody, Joshua doesn't tell everybody what he's going to do. Now just check this out. Here's this big city. It's got a bit of a reputation. It's got a bit of an image locally. And you're right at the end of the big column. All you know is you're just going to walk around it. The blokes at the front know what's going to happen, probably. They know they're going to keep quiet until they've gone round it, and then suddenly there's going to be a noise. But if you're at the back, if you weren't at the meeting, if you weren't at the prayer meeting, if you weren't at the leadership development meeting, if you weren't at your Connect group meeting, you're just on the end of the queue. Let me tell you, the whole world's on the end of a queue. But it's the people at the front that have to tell them behind what's going on. You're at the head of the queue. You kind of know God. You know Jesus. You know he's got a strategy. You know he's got a plan for Staines and the region. You begin to push through it. It doesn't matter whether the people behind you don't know the plan, but the people behind them, they need to. Somehow you've got to engage with that. You've got to transfer the information backwards so that the people who are just lost and just wandering around, man, they know there's a plan, even if they don't know whose plan it is. That's why I love the fact that you've sent out 8,000 leaflets. It's great. It's informative. But, mate, they'll be watching who put it through, not just what was put through. Do you understand that? It's just a piece of card. If they didn't see the cue, well, what's this all about? No. What will happen here, and I don't quite know how this is going to happen, but I perceive it's going to happen, is people who just start coming along. Why? They have no idea. They just see there's a queue of people who know where they're going, and they just want to join the end of it. In the British culture, and most of you would know this, is, man, people will queue up for anything. And I'll use this in our town. I'll go and find a queue, like at a cash point or a till or a taxi, and I'll just get on the end of the queue and I'll just wait there a few minutes. I say, what are we waiting for then? I have no idea. Well, I'm waiting for a bus. I'm just waiting to have a conversation with you. I'm just on the end of the queue. I have no idea what people are waiting for. Why are we here? Because I can guarantee this, people will queue for anything. Can I just suggest that in this house, people will be queuing out the door. People will be queuing up the street, whether it's in this building or another one. Why? Because I realize there's a bunch of people inside that know where they're going. They may not understand why. They might not understand how, but they understand movement. And this fourth thing is you're part of a movement. God is not interested in building a monument. He's not. Monuments remind us of times gone by. Movement brings us into times that we're shaping. Amen. God doesn't want to build a monument. Yes, we respect them, we honor them. In the Old Testament, they were called Ebenezer the Geezer. They were called Ebenezer, not the Geezer, just made that up. They were called Ebenezers. They reminded people of how God had been in the past. But the cue that Joshua had was reminding the town about what it was going to be in the future. It was reminding the cue, we're going to take this thing. We're going to liberate some people. Yeah. I think there's people around your life that are waiting for you to liberate them. Waiting for you just to come into the gate of their life, come into their realm and say, actually, I know someone that can set you free. I know someone that can give you a really good painkiller. I like that. That's inspired me. It's like, well, I'm taking that away. I know someone that's a really good painkiller for your debt issue, for your relationship breakdown, for your marriage that's gone down the tubes. Man, people are in pain. Which is why it said that Jesus took our pain. So we've got this story. Joshua, he meets the commander-in-chief, probably Jesus. He says it was tightly shut up. It looks really, really difficult, but we're just going to walk around. But man, I want to be as close to the front of the cube as I can. I want to know why we're doing this. How do we do that now? You get into prayer and get into the prayer closet of your own life. This is a moan, all right? I'm going to moan. It's only one moan. If we weren't at the prayer meeting, there'd have been three of this congregation at it. Come on, let's join the queue. Let's just pray somewhere with somebody. Let's form the queue of prayer. Because that's when we find out instruction. We find out direction. We build momentum. Hallelujah. We do it through prayer, through engaging with the commander-in-chief. Do you understand that? That's the only moan I'm going to have. Is that all right? But man, we've got to build that momentum of prayer, of engaging with the commander-in-chief, the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. How do we do this? Why? Because we don't know where we're going. We don't know what to do when we get there. We're just doing the last thing God says. That's the power of this cube. It's very organic. It's called the body of Christ. It's called the church. Man, we started this congregation in Worthing on the 26th of October last year. I have no idea how we've got where we are now, other than one week at a time. One prayer at a time. Yeah, we've had some great encouraging things. People here from cancer. Somebody testified last week. Come on then. Somebody healed in the middle of the town. They're just running around with their walking stick saying, Jesus has healed me. It's fun, right?
Yeah,
but it's normal for God. That's how he builds his reputation, is through people like you and me that are just in the queue. I really don't know where I'm going. I'm just trusting the guy at the front because he knows where he's going. I'm just trusting our leadership because they're getting something that maybe I don't get in the same way, but I'm getting it by association, not just by identity. Do you understand that? If I'm part of this great church, I can't be it by identity. I've got to associate with it. I've got to put my hands to walking around. So alignment is in our head, alignment is in our heart, and alignment is in our spirit. I mean, I think quite a lot of the time we say, you know, Joshua was of a different spirit. Yes, he was. And so was Caleb, who was the other guy. But it also says both of them willingly obeyed the Lord. It wasn't just because they had a different spirit. Because they had a different heart as well. And that spirit and that heart worked together. Did they have a great life before that? I have no idea. Joshua seemed to go to tent meetings every day and never leave. Maybe that turns you on, maybe it doesn't. Caleb just wanted a mountain, and God gave it to him about 50 years later or something. But there was an alignment. I've said to Claire, Claire's one of the guys that came out with us, and she's just going to come out in a minute. Why? Because, hear what I'm saying here. I've asked Claire to just share about alignment in her own life. Now, I haven't told her what to say. I've just said, it's about alignment, all right? Because that's what it is. What she says is up to her. But I know kind of what she's going to say because it's the word of the Lord. Amen. So it's not going to be, well, let's all go out and buy a Quran and study it so we understand other religions. Or let's go out and buy some Mormon book. It's not going to be alignment like that. If you don't know, Muhammad did live, but he's dead and he's buried in Mecca right now. So if you want to worship him, go over there. If you want to love Jesus, who was only buried for 3 days and now lives forever, you can worship him here. That's all I'll say about that. So let's just welcome Claire out here. And she's just going to take a couple of minutes to share some stuff about her life and alignment.
Hi. How many of you know that God is good? Put your hand up. How many of you know that he forgives everything that you do? Well, I never knew that because I never been brought up in a Christian family. So I never knew anything about God. I only thought people that go to Christian churches, they just want to believe in something, you know. It's not real. God isn't real. And so, because my family didn't believe or have a Christian faith either. Unfortunately, they split up. My parents split up and I was in a family that was kind of split away. Unfortunately, with someone's decision, my mum's, she went into a wrong relationship and kind of brought lots of pain into my heart because, unfortunately, he was abusive. And I just saw lots of things going on with my mum that a 7-year-old and a 6-year-old, 8-year-old, 9, 10, 11 shouldn't have seen growing up. I saw my mum being really depressed, trying to kill herself, and I took that weight upon me of actually I had to be the strong one. I have to put a brave face and go to school and just pretend that everything's fine, but actually deep down I was feeling alone. There's no one there to help me. I'm seeing all of this. And everyone used to say, oh, Claire, you smile all the time, you're happy and stuff like that. But I guess you don't know what's going on in people's hearts. You don't know what's going behind closed doors. No one knew. No one really truly knew who I was. And so my heart started getting so hard up that I just kind of, I wanted to feel love. I didn't understand what love. I thought love was pain, everything like that. So I started to think, you just put a wall up. You hide yourself and you just put a wall up. So I started growing up with this and I thought crying was a sign of weakness as well. So I had all these emotions and I didn't know how to deal with them, really. And also, I suppose growing up, I had bad experience with men. See, the partner she was with started taking interest in me. I was child abuse. And I didn't say anything because I thought my mum liked him. So I didn't say anything and I stopped eating. That's how I coped. So I had an eating disorder. And then luckily enough, my mum had a turnaround and she left him. But I still felt that bitter anger towards her of actually you allowed someone into my life. And I was really angry. And hurt. And growing up a teenager, I started going out with loads of guys. But unfortunately, they also were mind controlling me. I got into wrong relationships myself. And I thought love is you just give yourself. You just give yourself away. Whatever the guy wants, you just give yourself away. And that's what I started to see myself as a low person. I just wanted love and I just didn't feel anything about my body or anything like that. I just kind of thought I'd just give it away. And also it didn't help at school because school, I had dyslexia and they said, you're never going to mount up to anything. So having all of this back at home and in school, they didn't really support me. They said that I can't do things. So I thought, oh, I'm dumb, you know, that's it. I'm not going to do anything. What's the point of listening to anything? So when I had an idea for something and I wanted to do something, it was always pushed down. So in the end, I just thought, if you want something so badly, give up when it gets really hard. So at the age of 18, this is when I started, this is where I gave my life to God. Because I was in a relationship and he used to take drugs, and really bad drugs. And one day he said to me, I'm going to church, I stopped taking drugs. So I was a bit like, wait a minute, how is that possible? No way. Like, church, old people, old hymns. No, not for me. But I just thought, he stopped taking drugs, so what was it? So I just went to the church one day, and I was a bit shocked. It was happy clappy, like, people were happy and felt this welcome, and I was just like, what's going on? Okay, this is weird. Just clap your hands and just go with it. And there was this, my pastor's wife was standing up preaching, And I just looked at her and I thought, wow, she's preaching, she's talking, these guys are letting her talk. And she said something that really hit me. She said, you can wear lots of makeup, you can wear designer clothes, or put a fake face on, or, you know, put a wall up, but God knows deep down who you are. You can't hide from him. He knows who you are. And that hit me. I was like, oh, great. Because I thought, I'm not a perfect person. I'm not, you know, I hate who I was. I thought I was just, you know. So for me, thinking someone actually knew who I was quite scary. And then I just felt this God, like, heat coming from my heart. And I just felt this love that I just felt, I cannot find that from anyone. And that's when I found God, and I knew he was real. But because of what I was brought up, I still had the mindset of what I was growing up on. So I went into a relationship that wasn't right. And unfortunately, he was mind-controlling, and he did stuff to me that you think a Christian guy shouldn't have done. But it's funny, because you know when you look back at things and you see that God was there and he took you out of things. And I thank God each day that he took me out of that relationship, because I put him up in a pedestal and I was so madly in love with him that actually I should have put God there. And, you know, he used to say to me that God wouldn't use me. So when we split up, and I was at church, that's when I started doing things for the church. I started worshipping, I started doing children work. And then I found there was something in me, and it's called the Holy Spirit. And I was baptized, and I was like, actually, there's something inside of me. But I still had that mindset of, oh, I can't do stuff, I can't do it. And then one day, God said to me, I want to use your mouth. Now, for me, I've got dyslexia, so mouth-wise, I was like, no, that's not for me. And he said, and that's when he started telling me about going to Bible college. Now, for me, I thought that would not be in my cards. I thought, just get a job, do what I can at church, and that's it. That's all what God's got planned for me. So I had to go and do the process of, like, testing it out, going, right, Lord, you provide the money. He provided the money. I was like, okay. You do something with my family because they're not Christians. Because they would go, why are you going to Bible college? They went, just do whatever makes you happy. I was like, ah, okay. Right, final one. I apply, and if I get through, I get through. Applied, got through. So I got the hint, that's where I want to go. Even though part of me was like, shall I go? But I tell you what, that was the most best decision I ever made. Because going here, actually, I truly found out who I am. And all the lies that the enemy has brought in my life to say you're worthless and all of that, actually, he said, I can do things. And it's only thanks to God that he can. And, you know, even when I gave my life, yes, I went into an adult relationship and did things that you shouldn't really do. But actually now, I have respect for myself, my body, and everything like that. That actually, you can turn around what you have got yourself into. Before, I used to read the scriptures going, how can you get out of this, like, sin? You know, how can... For me, I thought, once you're in the hole, you're in the hole. And you spend ages to ask God for forgiveness, and you just have to do good. Was actually, you can just say, I have that mindset, that heart decision to actually, I'm not going to be that person. And just really ask God to forgive you and just step out and just do what he wants you to do. Because quite honestly, I can't believe I'm standing here today. Because there's been times that I felt suicidal and all of this, thinking, oh, what's the point? I'm not... But actually, God knows what you're going through. He knows how far you're going to go. And you know what? He will bring you out to things, and you will change and everything like that, because he's a good God. He is a very good God.
Thank you. You see, it's not about where you are in the queue with God. It's that you're in it. You're in it. And this is kind of the last point. Is that it's said that after several days, Joshua said, right now it's time to make a different sound. And I believe as a Christian we should look different, feel different, smell different, and sound different. Part of a move of God is that there is a change in the sound of society. There's a change of a sound within the society of our own life. Like Claire was saying, she lived under a sound which was, you're never going to be anything. You're never going to do anything of value. And suddenly she heard a different sound. She had to change her thinking, she said. But then she also had to change how she saw herself. Do you understand that? Christianity is not psychology with a religion around it. Christianity is we have a new mind. We have a new spirit. We have a new heart. In fact, the Bible says we are a new person. The old has gone. The new has come. And I just want to kind of finish with this. It is my perception, as I've been praying for you, and I pray for Paul and Carrie every day. We pray for you as a church every week. We have a little small group, one of our small groups that prays for our partners. And our perception is that you are about to take possession, not of places, but people. Because there is a difference. God doesn't want to build our real estate portfolio. He wants to give people. The increase of your numbers, Leviticus 25 or 26. And God wants to increase the people in the queue. Because interesting, when you queue with an expectation of there's something at the end of it, when you queue with a sense of I'm part of the queue, I'm not just looking at it, when you queue with a sense of there's movement in it, the queue is moving. And all these things are part of church. We all know there's an end game. Like any great book, if you read a great book, I don't know, I do two things. First one is I always read the last chapter. Because I want to find out, you know, how long is this character in it? And you know, do you know what I'm saying? Sorry, I just do that. I always read the last chapter. And I always want to find out the quality of the author. Is this bloke know what they're talking about? Well, let me tell you, the Bible, I approach it in exactly the same way. I read the last chapter. I know how it ends. Come on. And I also checked out the author, realizing that actually he was checking me out before I started checking him out. So the Bible's a good book, all right? It's a book about our history. And our history ends a bit like this. God is going to confound all the smart people that you know, including you, because of how smart he makes you. The book ends like this. He's going to equip you to do what you never thought you could ever do, which is why you hadn't done it, but it's going to inspire you so that you do it. The only things that we haven't done are the things that we haven't done yet. God wants to increase our capacity to match our capability. That's the church. You're part of a church like this. In other words, the queue that we're in is buzzing. It's pulsating. It's like we might just be going forward, but we're going forward. We know where we're going. We know the destination. We're going to bring people with us. Hey, come and join the queue we're in. We know we're going to get a bargain. There's a bargain at the end. Buy one, get set free. It's at the end. That was good. I tell you what, that was inspired. Buy one and get set free. It's at the end of the queue, that one. Let's all stand up, shall we? I believe we are part of that Joshua generation. Not because we're young or we're old, but because we're breathing right now. Amen. If we're not breathing, we will raise you up. Don't use that as an excuse. Don't die before your time. We'll just raise you up. If you can't stand up, it's fine, but just stand up if you can. Because if you breathe in, then this is your time. This is your season. This is your God-given opportunity. There's a city, maybe it's family, maybe it's friends, maybe it's workplace, but God wants you to possess your city. You are a deliverer because you've been delivered by the grace of God. You can offer redemption or you can offer alternative because you've received an alternative. We can't take what we haven't got, but the Bible says we've got everything we need. So whether you're in Paris or whether you're in Holland or whether you're from Melbourne, it doesn't matter. We're part of this awesome queue and our destiny is we're victorious people. Man, we serve a great God and God is our destiny. And knowing God is our destiny, we might, I don't know, people in our school, people in the college might hate our guts. I have no idea. They've never seen them. I don't know why they say that. Maybe they just hate you because they're just weird people. But let me tell you, as long as you keep moving under the power of the Holy Spirit, under the direction of God, they will learn to love you. Because the love of God that motivates a Christian never gives up on people. Like we were hearing about Claire. Claire gave up on Claire before God ever would. And I know that was true for me, and it's probably true for most people in the room. So let's just close our eyes. It does all go dark when you do that. So don't be afraid of the dark. Actually, there is somebody here that's got a little bit of a fear thing. Don't do that. When fear looks at you, look back at it and say, "You're not having me." When fear looks at you and says, "I'm taking you down," you look back and say, "I'm just going to walk over you." Being a Christian does not mean you walk without fear. It means you walk in faith, which overcomes all fear. It's not some funny magical potion. It's about being part of the queue that at the front of it, as the commander or the Lord of Lords or the host of hosts or whatever translation you want to use, his name is Jesus, who opens up the way when there isn't one, provides when there isn't any, puts us on firm ground when it all feels shaky, catches us when we fall over before we hit the ground, raises every valley up and lowers every mountain down. That's the commander of our chief, who never runs out of resources, never runs out of time, never runs out of passion, never runs out of reasons to give and bless. That's our commander. He never runs out of strategy. He knows how to build momentum. His main methodology of building momentum is he sends himself. Father, I want to thank you for this awesome church. I want to thank you for these great people. And Father, you know that when I say that, I don't just refer to the people in the room, but the people who are going to join the people in the room. The people are going to just tag along because they might not know where they're going, but they know people that know where they're going, what they look like. I want to thank you that the momentum of change is going to increase in these next months. I thank you for personal encounters with the Lord of Lords, with the Commander in Chief. And I want to thank you that on circumstantial evidence, nothing's changed at all. But actually everything has changed, because everything has changed. I want to thank you that just that sense, that spirit of fellowship, of being around people that know where they're going and know what they're doing is going to increase here. I want to thank you for that power of fellowship. It's just going to grow and flourish and prosper. Where it's like, how can I make this work? How can I make this happen? We're on a journey and I'm just as interested in the journey as I know about the destination. And I thank you that that's just going to create this bow wave of change and this bow wave of momentum. Other people are just going to come along behind and their journey is going to be less challenging than ours because we've already broken through. We've already made a way. And others can just come along behind and follow. But I want to thank you for numbers increasing, your spiritual life just increasing. I thank you that every wall will come down, every gate shall be removed. I thank you in our personal realm, in our corporate life, in our marriages, friendships. We thank you it's time to possess the city of our lives. You have said that we are like a city set on a hill. And I thank you for this awesome city that you're just raising up and you're causing their light to shine. We thank you for alignment. Man, we're winners, not whiners. Hallelujah. We're winners, not whiners in the house. Anybody agree with that?